Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show where we discuss black people leaving the slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own society based on freedom, justice, and equality. Our mission, and yours, if you decide to accept it, is to seriously discuss, debate, and vet the concept of separation and its various implications as a viable solution for black people here in America, and to analyze historical and current separate societies and consider their models for implementation of our own. Tonight's show, we're having a separation Q&A. This is a panel discussion of the coordinators of the Time to Leave Task Force, and we discuss separation issues having to do with current events. We discuss the concept and history and applications of separation in our giving disciplines. We have a physical relocation task force. We have a land market task force. We have a task force that discusses, that represents skilled trades, and one for engineering. So basically what we're trying to do with the Time to Leave movement is to cover every aspect of a community so that we can answer your questions and offer solutions for people who are interested in making that move and realizing that it is time to leave. So I'm not going to bore you with just my talk. What I'm going to do is bring on some of our task force members. And at this time, we have a couple in the arm right now. We have Sister Katina and Sister Majida. I'm going to open their mics right now. Assalamu alaikum, sisters. Sister Katina, Sister Majida, can you hear me? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Oh, okay. I thought I was talking to myself. Yes, ma'am. Is this Sister Majida?
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. How are you today?
I'm fine, by Allah's grace, and yourself?
I am fine. And I opened up Sister Katina's mic. Maybe she's having a trouble. I mean, she might be on mute right now, and inshallah, she'll
be able to go. I'm here.
Oh, I knew you were there. Yes, ma'am. Welcome to the show, sister. And I just want to say last week's show was very, very dynamic, as was the previous show. And I'm grateful that you were able to secure brother for a second show, Brother Farouk, that is.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. I thank you for that. It was, you know, we had a great time and we got a lot of good information. There were a lot of great questions, which brought out other aspects of separation and what the things that we actually can do ourselves. So that was awesome.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So I look forward to getting more information on the Freedom Nation. Brother had a lot. I took notes. He offered a lot that we can learn from in his implementation of building the aspects of separation. He separated it into technology. They separated him into physical construction and all the aspects. And so I think we can learn a lot in studying his implementation of the different disciplines and the aspects of what it takes to build your own nation.
Absolutely. I totally agree. He really kind of etched out how we don't really have to reinvent the wheel, but there are those among us who have done it and are doing it in terms of separation and building and creating separate states and territories of our own and separate plots of land of our own, that have thought of things that we are thinking of that are, oh, wait, is this going to be a problem, or how do we get around that, or how do we install this? And so with that, one of the major things when you spoke of the technology is the fact that he talked about not being deprived, you know, of modern technology and how his community or the communities that they have constructed are some of the most highly technological communities around. And I thought that was just like amazing. Shows us that we can separate and we can have our own without having to go back to the Stone Ages.
Well, that statement you just made stimulated a question that I have. You know, it was amazing that he is able to fund the Freedom Nation internally. And I can see where that brings a lot of advantages. Advantages, I mean, you control your money and you give yourself the freedom to be able to, you know, be creative, and the freedom to travel, and the freedom to research the best ways, and then not just research them, to implement them. So we don't have a wealthy benefactor. We do have our own people, you know, pulling our resources, but that's a bit of more of a challenge for us. How do you see either one of you could answer the question, sisters. How do you see for us, how can we implement the kind of success at the pace he appears to be going, granted that we have a little more of a challenge in terms of our financial base?
Sister Majida, you want to take a go at that first?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. No, go ahead, sister.
You know, I'll say this. I think, Brother Carlton, that we have economic challenges on one end, but I think on the other end, we just haven't tapped into the right people to be the funding aspects of what it is that we're trying to do. And I say that because being in the banking industry, mortgages and and things like that. You've got money on different on different plateaus. You have you've got government monies. You've got, you know, just your regular banks, and then you have private monies and private investors. So, you know, tapping into individual sources that can help to fund the projects and be that aspect of the pooling your resources. Everybody doesn't have to play the same function. Like, you can't get a living being with just a heart. So everybody can't be hearts. You know, everybody can't be lungs, okay? You're going to need the lungs. You're going to need the heart. You're going to need the kidneys, the spleen, the nervous system. You know, you're going to need all of those different systems in order to keep the body, have a body and keep that body alive, but they're working together, right? So that's what we need to do. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was speaking very recently about how visionaries need people around them who can execute and who can make the thing happen. So I think that it's what we try to do is when we think about, oh, this person thinks like I think, and that's cool, but, you know, what we need is if you think like that and you formulate the idea, cool, we can get a few more people that can formulate ideas, but all of us can be idealists. The other thing, we need the ideals, but we also need the executors. Then we also need the money. You know, the people that say, look, I don't have time to go and do this, and I'm not getting ready to go and do that, but I'll fund it. You understand what I'm saying? And then they play the role. So it's about, from what I see and even in my experience working with private money people, you got people that just lend money because that's what they got, right? I'm going to lend you some money, no problem, get it back to me and you know, a year or two or what have you, and fund your little project, and then they're up. You know, they may or may not, you know, make a little something off of it, and then they're up. Well, that's their function, and that's what we need. So I think it's just a matter of being a little bit more strategic and a little bit less narrow-minded, if you will, on who and how to formulate the groups to bring about the reality that we have in our heads.
And if I may add something to that, Sister Katina, you're right. We all can't be the heart in every aspect. We all have a role to play. Another part of that is we have to be willing, and Brother Farouk, you know, he talked to this a little bit in what he mentioned about hard work and commitment. We have to be willing to sacrifice and make a commitment to our own, to build our own communities. We have to be willing to do that, because if you're waiting for somebody else to build a community for you before you're going to walk into it, or if that's your mindset that you want to walk into it, how much value does that community really have for you? But if you're willing to come in and roll your sleeves up and make a commitment that you're going to sacrifice and help build the community, chances are you have a greater commitment to that community. So, you know, some of us are waiting for exactly what you say, what you're saying, somebody to fund it, you know, somebody else to pool their resources, somebody else to put the community in place, and so they can just, you know, have the benefits of all of that. But we're at a time now with everything that's going on in the world that we need to start making some sacrifices with the monies that we have and the gifts, skills, talents, and the knowledge that we have, that we're going to start putting something away so that we can steal away and help build that community, regardless of what somebody else does or doesn't do. Because when you think about it, we've had these monies and funds in our communities, or we've had access to these funds and sources for some time, but we still don't have any communities. So it's what are we going to do, you know, as a people?
Thank you. Thank you both for that answer. Maybe the conversation has stimulated someone one of the callers to make a comment or a question. I'm going to open their line now. Caller with the last four digits, 7857, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, assalamu alaikum, Sister Adela Muhammad, Phoenix, Arizona. How's everybody?
Good.
Fine.
Hi, ma'am.
Okay, wa alaikum salam. When Sister Katina said government, it just I was like, oh, well, no. I don't think we want it from the American government anyway. I can't imagine wanting to let any government entity involve since we are a government of our own. They just sparked a red flag for me. And I just wanted to say, you know, we as the nation of Islam, you know, I don't think, especially the American government. However, what I did want to say is we have a lot of sympathizers. So maybe if we could get a group together to solicit funds from people who have money, and I'm just mentioning this name, such as Oprah Winfrey or LeBron James, you know, or Ice Cube or somebody, you know, to, you know, get money to fit them. And of course, they have a stake in it. Now, I would go that route, but I wouldn't go in any government information from the government and stuff like that. But for money, I hope not.
Yeah, let me be clear, sis. That's a good point. That's not what I was saying, though. I definitely wasn't saying loan to the government. I just used that as, and that's a government loans. Actually, there are government, you know, VA loans, veteran loans, you know, those types of things. So I definitely wasn't saying that. I have to apologize if something that I said, you know, created the idea that I was saying go to them. The example being used was just to show that. That the roles that different finance options are, not to say, oh, yeah, let's get a government loan. I mean, you're going to be right back in the same spot. Plus the difficulty
right.
factor, even if, yeah, so no, I definitely wasn't saying that. But thanks for pointing that out.
Okay, but I have two more questions, so you can get rid of me. One is, you know, there are states, well, first of all, let me ask, understand that you all have visited Georgia and you're looking at a place in Georgia. Are there any other states in the South, the ones that Minister Farrakhan has mentioned that this organization will be looking at as far as purchasing property? And I have a reason for asking that, too.
Sister Majita?
Right. Yes, sir. You know what? When you say this organization, you're talking about the Time to Leave movement?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I would say us that are on the call in the separation committee, our focus is building a community on and around Muhammad Farms. That's
right.
Our primary focus, because our farm is here. We have what we need. So it's just a matter of building a model community that can be duplicated and can be implemented in those other states as well. But before we start, and see, that's one of the things we do. We're kind of all over the place sometimes before we've actually done one thing. So our focus is to do this one thing, to make this model community, and then we can duplicate it. So
right. That was simple,
are
it was
we
a simple
looking
question.
In any other states, the Time to Leave movement? To my knowledge, we're focusing right now on building community on and around Muhammad Farms. That's not to say whatever steps that we use to do that can't be duplicated and implemented in the other states that the minister is calling for, but we got to start one place first before we're all over.
Okay, that was the question. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sister.
Yes, and we have another caller on the line. And thank you very much, Sister Atala, for calling in and asking those good questions. They're very thought-provoking, and they provoked two good answers from our sisters. The caller dropped off, unfortunately. But, yeah, thank you very much, sisters, for giving those answers. That's the beauty of dialogue, that we go deeper into the concepts. Now, until we get into the caller, I would like to continue on the line of Sister Atala. So the Time to Leave movement, Sister Majida, you clearly stated that we're focusing on building a community in and around Muhammad Farms. But Dr. Ridgely says, and one of our statements, and it's on our Facebook, that we can either control the community we currently live in or move to a community that we can control. Is the Time to Leave movement offering assistance to the people who are unable, for whatever reasons, to leave their communities?
Well, as it states, there are steps towards separation, and you just mentioned those two steps. So if it is your desire to control the community that you live in, one of the things you're going to need to do is join yourself with like-minded folks in that community that want to take control of your community. How do you go about that? How do you go about taking control of your communities? Let's just say, for example, we lived in Oakland, a city, before we moved here. We were not living in a community that was predominantly Black folks. And I don't know of very many of us that attended our mosque that could say that they lived in areas that were predominantly Black folks. So we're so spread out in these cities, it becomes a challenge. One, in our case, real estate was just not available at an affordable price in a large city where we can have clusters of communities that, one, we predominated, and two, that we can control. So we're not saying that you can't do that. The challenge is, how do you go about controlling a city or a community within a city if you're already spread out? How do you go about doing that? And when we talk about control, we're talking about, as the Honorable Minister Farrakhan said, making that community a safe and decent place to live. So those all become challenges when we're spread out in the cities, these large cities, and we're not together. So I would say the first challenge we would have, if you're not in a, and we're focusing our efforts, that's not to say that others can't focus in other areas. We're focusing our effort on small rural living at this stage to make our model.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And if I can interrupt you for a minute. Oh, go ahead. And then we got two callers that have questions. Go ahead, Sister Christina.
No, I just, wanted to add to that. You know, by all means, anybody that wants to, go that route and make their community a safe and decent place to live and taking over that community, I think it's going to be a matter of really being able to identify with what it is that entails. What does that mean? Because I come originally from St. Louis, and everybody in my community was Black. But the police was still rolling up, shooting people that was walking down the street, So what I'm trying to get across is, just because it's an all-Black community doesn't mean we've taken it over.
Right.
I mean? Like, if we have to, you have to be able to control who it is that's coming in and out.
Right.
You have to be able to regulate. So if something happens, and I'm at a mom-and-pop store, St. Louis has plenty of those. So I'm at a mom-and-pop store and something goes down, then I got to call the police and everybody's subject to be, that'll be your last breath you take, mess around with them. Then I don't own that community. I have not, it's my neighborhood because I live there, but in terms of owning it, we don't. And so it's totally a fine action, and it is an appropriate action, but it definitely is going to take, getting in the school board, getting into the local government, one of your own, by the way, or somebody that is sympathizers, as Sister spoke about earlier, with your own, in order to be able to do that. So it's going to take knowing what to do and not just, okay, well, we all here, you know, but drugs are still coming in, and you know, women are still on the street, you know, selling themselves and that type of, they still don't know, you know, who they are, which is the ultimate part of separation in terms of the mentality in the first place. So I just wanted to, you know, to say that.
Thank you. Thank you for adding that on and making that clear, Sister Katina. We have a caller, last four digits, 0446. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Can you hear me? I think I was on mute.
Yes.
Can you hear me
we
now?
We can hear you.
Okay.
What's your name and where are you calling from, Sister?
Sister Carol Asadi. I'm calling from New Jersey. And I just wanted to address the point that was made about not using any government funds. I might be wrong, you know, here, but for me, in a feasible sense, aren't we first trying to, because the average workaday person, I'm on a fixed income and I have government funds, would not this make more sense? People who are using government funds, HUD houses or what have you, or veterans funds, wouldn't it make more sense for people who are on that type of status of living, try to start moving towards one another first? Say somebody's on Section 8. They decide to get an apartment in the area where we want to start forming a cluster, because it sounds more reasonable and feasible to try to steal away. Now, if you're going to talk about taking care of your own community, that's far-fetched, because it would be feasible for me if I had money in the bank that I could choose a location and go buy a house on my own, but I can't. And it appears to me that the average black person, Muslim or what have you, can't just move just like that. But we can use what we have, what we're using now to sustain ourselves, and be flexible with that. Get together and decide who's going to, what part of what area you want to occupy. And like I said, those who can transfer government funds to a different location, and we start coming together. And then from that base of a steal-away program, then we start talking. That's like the minister saying the root or the shoot goes down first, you know, and then we come up with the ideas of how we're going to govern that community. We're not even at a point. That's just not, and pardon me, for me at this level, it doesn't even seem like that's a conversation right now. For me, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but we got to talk about what we have and how we can use what we have. And maybe there's a committee that can start doing a demographic type of chart for those people who are interested in certain areas of the country. And if you would like to go there and start getting some research groups to go see what's available in that area, and say even those who might have to live in public housing, we want to cluster together. The main thing is us getting together and pooling our energy and our ideas together to come together. And then from that point, we branch into this beautiful community where we have some type of control. But until
yes, ma'am.
We can...
Sister, let me
okay.
go ahead and
I'll leave it there.
I'm sorry, you're asking a very detailed question.
Thank you for letting me share.
Yes, ma'am. And so I'm going to offer to our sisters who may want to give a brief answer on that. And then we have some more callers. So Sister Katina or
yes,
Sister Majida?
Yeah, I just have a question. Did Sister listen in to last week's show or the one the week before that? And I asked that question because some
no,
of the complexity.
No, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I did not.
Okay, I understand. Okay, well, you know, I don't know if there's a playback still available. I don't want to rehash everything
yes,
from
playback.
It except to say that the playback is available. Okay.
Yeah.
That will answer a lot of your concerns as it relates to viability and being able to say, yes, we're going to get a plot of land in New Jersey, and we're going to start or whatever, or even how you take over your own community. So, yeah, you know, I would recommend listening to those shows, and that will and some of the ones before that, and that will kind of help, should kind of help you with some of the difficulty factors that you maybe bumping into as you try to grasp the concept in your own mind.
Thank you very much, Sister Katina. And we're going to, we have another caller, last four digits, 0860. Caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Nasira Muhammad, Richmond, Virginia.
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamualaikum. Assalamualaikum, Brother Carton, Sister Majida, and Sister Katina. Sister Katina,
well,
I just want to, yes, ma'am. I wanted to really thank Sister Katina for the last two shows. All the shows are wonderful on Time to Leave. But Brother Farouk and what Sister Katina did was just exceptionally informative and enlightening in terms of what community, what we can do as a people when we come together. And I say what the minister has started us on, the town hall meetings, is truly what is needed to galvanize and get our people together and to find out who wants to come together and unite. Because we know it's some that want to come together, and it's some that do not want to come together. So we had, I say that to say, we had a wonderful town hall meeting this weekend in Richmond. It went very well. We had a wonderful panel discussion basically on unity and uniting our people. And the information and just the theme and what came out was of that town hall meeting speaks to a lot of people see the handwriting on the wall and they want to come together, they want to unite, and we have people that have expertise in a lot of areas that we're going to need to unite. But as all of us spoke on, everybody, I think everybody that has spoke before me spoke to the fact that community and how to first come together, how to pull our resources. And, you know, the main thing I see is that we're going to have to retrain and reteach our people because we already have the money. We spend trillions of dollars in this economy, billions of dollars. So we have to redirect the money back to ourselves so that we can take the money that we're getting now in this economy and build for ourselves. So what I see is that we, you know, that and Allah is going to force us. He's forcing us every day. I mean, it's getting to the point that it is almost unbearable, to be in this system. So we're going to have to come together soon, and then teach our people how to think, to reprogram their mind to work together so that we can build for ourselves. And that's what I see. I'm not going to hold up the line and continue on, but I just wanted to share that about that our people are coming. They are coming. It's slowly, but they're coming. They're coming together.
Thank you for that encouraging comment. And Sister Majita or Sister Katina, if you'd like to comment on what Sister said. Meanwhile, I'm going to open the lines. We have three more of our panel members that joined us. We have Sister Tiffany, we have Sister Ann, and we have Dr. Ridgely. Assalamualaikum.
Oh, great.
Yeah, yes, sir. I was just listening to Sister, and, you know, and she was so calmly and letting us know, you know, how well her situation, her town hall went, and, you know, mentioning that some people want to, and these are the actual facts, some people want to come together and some people do not want to. And my mind was just like separation or death. So, and you're either going to separate or, you know, and Brother Farouk mentioned that too. You know, you're actually ascribing for yourself, you know, not a life, but a death by not separating. So, I mean,
right.
there's no
right.
sense in that.
Right. It's like, just really briefly, it's like, in my opinion, now this is my observation, right? Nobody's, you know, this is just my observation. In my observation, he's already forcing us. Like, how many different times can we go get coffee and end up in jail? You know what I mean?
Right, or dead.
Does that not say that we're being forced? How many times can we go to a pool or have a picnic and have the, or what do you call it, outing, and have the police called on you, and then the police arresting a man handling a woman to the ground. How many Waffle Houses can you go try to
right.
find that and get the police?
Right.
So in my estimation, and this is just me now, I'm not a rocket scientist, I'm not a, you know, ain't no angel came to visit me, but in my observation, we're being forced right now. Like, it's like,
right.
it's like, and I,
like
I would say
up.
This joking. Yeah, like, really, you know, and I would say this, like, jokingly to friends. I'm like, you know, our mentality is such against self, right? It is senseless mistrust of self. I would encourage us to go back to message to the black man. And anybody got to tell you nothing else, you might need to review something. But if the audience was far can't stop talking today, we got enough to get up and do something for ourselves. That's just me and my passion, okay? But
right.
if you revisit a message to the black man, he says it's a senseless mistrust of one another. It doesn't even make sense anymore. Like, we will quicker get rid of a well-meaning but maybe, you know, a character defect husband, you know, than we will to separate from the enemy. There's something wrong with that thinking, you know, because this enemy, you know what I mean? We quicker say, oh, I have outgrown my wife, I'm being called to the divine, and I've outgrown her. Okay, divorce. We'll separate from her. We'll separate from him, you know, who well-meaning and need a little bit of training or need a little bit of help or somebody to pull your coattail and let you know where you're tripping. Then we will. An enemy that's running up on you, shooting you, kidnapping our children. You know, your children, child go to school, might not come home. He's already
exactly.
forcing us, in my opinion.
Right.
And see, Dr.
Like
Ridgely. Oh, Sister Tiffany. Yes,
like
ma'am.
Sister Tiffany. Yes, sir. I just wanted to say, I don't know how many people are aware of what just happened in Clearwater, Florida, with the brother that was going out, that went into the corner
convenience store to get some snacks for his
yes.
son and wound up dead.
Yes. Came
yeah.
outside and, you know, Florida is a state where it's stand your ground law, whatever that is. And so he goes in and comes out and sees a white man attacking his wife, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to her defense, like the black man or woman should and would do, you know. And the white man pulls out his gun and blows the brother away. And now they are saying that he was justified in doing that.
Right.
You know, so this really is just to bear witness to what everyone has been saying on the line, that it's past time for us to find a way or find our way out from in the midst of this beast, you know. And, you know, I like it's been said earlier, you know, we're being forced. You know, we're being forced to do this, and we can't play around with it any longer. And there's, I would like to just kind of veggie back off with a sister that said about Sister Katina, you know, just thanking her for bringing Brother Farouk on the line, because that he's a great example. I won't say perfect, but he is an awesome example as of right now for us to see what our capabilities are as far as what we can do, you know, especially with the supreme wisdom that we've been given. And so it's just about us pulling our resources and unifying as one to make it happen. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Tiffany. And we have another caller on the line. Caller with the last four digits, 7359. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Niambe from St. Louis, Missouri. Can you hear me? Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yes,
sister,
we can
go
hear
ahead
you.
And okay. State your okay. question or your comment, please.
Okay, thank you. I have more of a comment. Just to reiterate what's already been said, we must comprehend that separation is not a time that's far off or not sometime.
Now, sister, your volume is kind of low. Sister, your volume's kind of low. Maybe if you can speak closer to the microphone or something, because your volume is kind of low.
Okay, what about now? Can you hear me better now?
That's better.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I was just saying that separation is not somewhere afar off in the future. Separation is now. We cannot expect to live a full life under these agents of death. And Dirigley has stated previously, we're paying them to kill us through the food, the water, etc. And so it's insane for a people who know that they are being murdered by an enemy to continue to seek sustenance from that enemy. And then when it comes to things like money, so let's say when the messenger said pool our resources, it doesn't just involve money. So you may have a family that may have more money than another family. So that's when we begin to barter. So if one family has the money to build a home or buy some land or what have you, and another family does not, then pool our resources and we work together. So the family that may not have the money or as much money as the family that does, then they may partake in more of the physical labor that it takes to build on that land or farm that land or what have you. So when it comes to pooling our resources, we have to think a little broader, because there are many resources that are needed and that will be needed when it comes to going for self and separating from this enemy. And that begins with settling our differences, because as Minister Farrakhan has said, you will not work with or pool your resources with someone that you dislike or hate. So we must begin authentically settling our differences so that we can begin to, work together earnestly. So I'll just leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that comment, sister. Anybody on the line want to have any comments on sister's contribution?
Yes, I'm Lincoln. Can you hear me?
Well, let him slam, sir. Yes, sir, we can.
You know, I'm listening to the conversation, and it's good theoretical conversation, but let me get specific in terms of the reality of separation. Brother Carlton, your family made a decision that you wanted to come to Muhammad Farms, to this area, to help us in what we were doing. And since you all have done that, how many years has that been?
Almost five.
Four,
going on about
yes.
four and a half years.
Four and a half.
Four, Now, a lot of people say that it's very hard to get along with Dr. Ridgely because he's so mean. So y'all been here 4.5 years. Do y'all regret the move? Has it been better or worse than you expected?
Oh, it's definitely better. emphatically, yes, it's better.
Okay. Yeah, I have that conversation with my customers every day. I go out and do a job, and I tell them I'm from California, and they always give me a look with a twisted face, and they say, why'd you move here? And at the end of the conversation, I always tell them it's a move I would never regret and that I'm so glad that we made.
And let me just say, it was never a calculation in our planning, Dr. Ridgely, of whether we felt you were mean or not. What we felt being in part of the Ministry of Agriculture for, 12 years now, and speaking with you and Sister Ann on a weekly basis, we felt that what you were sharing with us of the teachings and the guidance was in our best interest. So it wasn't a matter of if we thought you were mean. That wasn't a factor in our calculation, sir.
In other words, it all praise due to Allah. It wasn't about personality.
No,
right?
Sir. It was about pooling our resources, as a sister said, with like-minded people.
So the way a raindrop starts, it's a grain of sand that's got to be up in the atmosphere and with the moisture, and the moisture coagulates around the grain of sand, and then it begins to build from that until it gets so heavy that it falls. So everything starts with a move, okay? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad got this farm. The nation failed. The minister brought the nation back and redeemed the farm. And so we've been working it down here. And then my wife comes to help. And then you all come to Founders Day, and you all see that we need more help because you wanted to help the program. You came here. You didn't separate. You came to help. And all we need to do is just come to help each other. Let's go see where we can fit in. There are a lot of people now looking at coming down to Bronwood, down to the Muhammad Farms area, because they see that we are doing something, we are moving forward, and they can see where they can fit in. Everybody's not going to be able to make the move. We're not saying for everybody to try to come down to Bronwood, Georgia, to Muhammad Farms. We're not saying for everybody to go to a farm or be a farmer. All we are doing is showing the way an example. And so we want to build an example here around Muhammad Farms so people can see that it's feasible, that it can work, and then they can move out themselves. You know, I put up a post on Facebook that, according to the definition of a leader is the one who leads or commands. We got a lot of commanders, but we don't have a lot of leaders. What we are doing here at Muhammad Farms and your family have done, you have led the way by making a move. And so to show the way and do a manual to show the people how to make the move. So from that beginning, we can begin a process of reestablishing real communities that we used to have before integration. It is not a pipe dream. It's just a matter of people making a decision
right.
of what they want to do with their life. If they're comfortable where they are, if they love living in a gay community with white folks, well, fine. That's fine. You stay there. But there are other people who are dissatisfied with the condition they're in, and so we want to show them an alternative. Right here around Muhammad Farms, we want to build a community around the farm, so that people can see what a sustainable community looks like, an African village used to look like, to show them how we can take from there and build Wakanda one step at a time. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you very much for the inspiring comments, Dr. Ridgely. And one thing I like to reply is that in moving down here, we didn't have to live with you, Dr. Ridgely, so whether you were mean or not, just like my wife said, it wasn't a consideration. But if you said we had to stay in the same house, I think me and my wife would have had an extended evaluation time. Not that we would have said no, but we definitely would have given it a lot more thought. Okay. Praise be to Allah. So we're down to the last.
To holler at me, I'm right there.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes, ma'am.
That's right. We said people can move here, but everybody's going to have their space. Okay? Everybody's going to have their space. They're going to have their life, and they can choose when they want to communicate and work with people when they want to. So we're not setting up one of them compounds.
Right.
This is not a kibbutz. All right?
It's not a commune?
Well, it's a commune, but it's not a kibbutz.
It's
you
not
know what I mean?
What's the difference? I know one of the kibbutz is the Jewish one where they all live in the same area and they all eat in the cafeteria and the children
right.
all go to the same school.
Right.
And
well, we
and
can,
the Branch Davidians had a
food.
Commune.
And we can eat together every now and then, but I ain't for that. All living in the same house. I think everybody need to have their space, at least an acre or two. I mean, come on now. You know,
yes, sir.
It's
yes, sir.
Going back to the old ways when there's all this land out here. And everybody needs to have their space. I love what the brother said last week about the walls.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The good neighbors have good walls. I was just thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you give everybody some space. Don't be crowding each other out in terms of bugging people out. All right? But
right.
So you ain't got to worry about Dr. Ridgely because he ain't going to be at your house every day. Trust me. He loves being where he is. By his almost by himself. That's what I'm waiting.
And Islam Alaikum. If my mic is open, the brief comment I want to make is for people who say they are not ready to move or can't move, can they support the program of trying to help build a community around Muhammad Farm? You know, we have started using our mathematical Islam when we talk about moving. Would it make for somebody to say, well, we can build a community in Arizona. In a few years, you're not going to have any water. Even in Atlanta, there are water problems. We've got to start looking at the infrastructure of where we're talking about moving. How old is the water system? Are they having problems? You know, what else is going on? All we want to do is what we like. You know, the sun shines there. You know, the weather is nice. We've got to use a little bit more of our mathematical Islam in making decisions. And for those who say it's going to take a long time for them to be ready to move, we want to do this. We have the farmland here. We want to build a community around the farmland. We are getting ready to set up something for our time to leave movement where you can support what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can build some extra homes where when you get ready, if you want to come this way, you can come, but just don't continue to sit where you are and do nothing.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Absolutely.
You know, I'd like to chime in on that. You know, we like to find excuses to do nothing or to continue to doing what we're doing. We don't like change because we are comfortable. We are somewhat comfortable until the police knocks on the door or shoots out your tires. Okay? We have stopped. He has trapped us with luxury and comfort, a little bit of ease, and we don't want to move. But this is not the future. This is not about the past, and it's not about the individual.
Okay? Right.
It's too individualistic. You know, I got mine, you got yours to get. No, we're talking about building something for our future, for our children. We can't build nothing in that crazy places where y'all living at now. That's no future in there for the children, for their development. You know, what you going to do? You send them to MUI, then they go work for the white man and make missiles. Come on now.
Yeah.
We're going to have to build something so that our children will have something that they can work in and build in and not send them to work for the devil after we've given them supreme wisdom. Mm. Mm.
That's really something that you said that. Just real quick, I was going to say that's really something that you said that because I had a question down here. Because, you know, when we're talking about separation, it brings up so many questions that are going on in folks' mind as to why they do or don't make a plan towards separation. And I had, what does our future look like in our current communities? Are we thinking about a future, or is survival our primary focus when we're living in these large cities? And you just said that, Dr. Ridgely, what's your future in these communities?
Exactly, because first of all, they've been abandoned by the original inhabitants. You know, even white folks got sense enough to get on about it, you know, someplace. But I wanted to go back to what Brother Dr. Ridgely just stated in terms of, you know, helping one another. Now, I ain't got to live with you to help. And, you know, I don't know. Dr. Ridgely going to have to holler at me because I'm going to be right down there, a couple of acres away from them, you know. Because the thing about it, he's just going to be hollering. I'll be waving, he'll be hollering, you know. But the reality is we are looking at this thing from the wrong perspective. If we don't start looking at one another as brothers and sisters of ours versus, you know, all this burdenistic type of thinking, like the doctor just said, this individualistic, I got mine, you got to get yours type of thing, that is totally just like insane that we cannot, we ain't going to make it. Thinking like that, we going to have to understand, like the psalm said, he ain't heavy, he my brother. Now what? Now, if I'm looking at you like you're heavy, I ain't carrying you nowhere. But if I'm looking at you like you're my brother, then we're going to make it to where we're trying to go. That's how we had to do it when we were migrating to the north from the south.
Right.
No,
right.
I can't make it. I can't go no further. No, you can come. Come on. You know, we're going to help you. And all of that. Now it's like, oh, well, you know, you can't make it. Oh, well. You know what I mean? It's really crazy. And I'm talking about for those who are actually want to and actually are trying. We got to really, really reevaluate how it is that we're looking at each other, because you can't unite with nobody that you're looking at as though they're a burden or you're trying to one-up them or anything like that. That's all I want to say on that.
Right, right. And, you know, if I may add to Sister Minister Ava, when she said, what was that, back in July or June when she was speaking at Mas Mariam, she said we have to be, basically separation should be on our mind 24/7, thinking, sleeping, eating, drinking, talking. So if you're not talking separation with folks that are in your community, see it, because, you know, like you said, when you're saying, I'm thinking of myself as an individual, well, when you go among those people that you consider your friends, what are you all talking about? Because you all, if you're talking separation, you start to talk about and formulate plans together to help one another do what it is you need to do. But if you're just looking at it as, I want to separate and I'm waiting for somebody to build something so I can come into it, what about all those other people that you network with and connect with on a regular basis? You know, you should be talking about that on a regular basis and making plans so you all can separate. We didn't make this move just my husband and I. We made a family move, and we didn't just have family in terms of, okay, that was my daughter, okay, that was my sister, okay, that was my mom. We pooled our resources. Yeah. We brought our gifts, skills, talents, and finances together and made a plan together to come. That's how it has to be done.
Thank you, Sister Majida. We're down to the last minute. We do have a caller. Unfortunately, caller, we are closing down with closing comments. Please call in next week and hit that number one earlier so we can make sure to get your comment. So now we're down to the last 40 seconds. Next week's show, we're going to have the physical relocation is going to host next week's show. So myself and Sister Majida are co-coordinators of that task force, and we love to have you come in and continue this discussion. 20 seconds. And any real brief comments before we end the show? All right. Thank everybody on the Time to Leave Task Force. I want to thank all the callers. And thank you. Please go to our Facebook page, Time to Leave, and ask your questions and comments there. May Allah bless you all. Till next week's show. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Oh, won't you let me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand your
weakness?
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground.
Yeah.
Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters be messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my fifth tire.
A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain by brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. Instead, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty.